Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day and for who you are. And we just pray, Lord, today that you would bless your word as it goes out. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and open our minds to what you have to say today through your word. We thank you for it. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Just to give you a little bit of a background on Philemon, it is one of the shorter books in the scripture. It's only 25 verses. And Philemon was a guy, a man from the town of Colossae. Have you ever heard of the book of Colossians? Okay, well, that's the same place, this Colossae, the book of Colossians. Now, Onesimus, we're going to see, was his slave. Now, as a slave, he was probably given some small pay there in the Roman times of this, and he would have been taken care of, maybe some food, shelter, and things like that, but he really didn't have the freedom to just come and go. And this is really a personal letter from Paul to Philemon. I'm going to read this for you here because I kept forgetting to get Mitch the information I needed to have it up on the screen, so you just have to bear with me. If you have your Bible, you can feel free to turn to the book of Philemon. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved brother and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, having heard of thy love and faith which thou hast toward Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, in the communion of thy faith. And the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great consolation in thy love, because the hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Therefore, though I might be bold enough to in Christ to enjoin thee to do that which is befitting, yet for love's sake, rather I beseech thee, being one such as Paul the aged, now a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I've begotten here in my bonds. In times past, he was unprofitable to you, but now profitable to me and you. I'm sending him back. Therefore, receive him as it were my own heart. I would have retained him here with me, in that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind I would do nothing, that thy goodness should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that you should receive him back forever, not now as a servant, but more than a servant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If you count me a partner, receive him as myself. If he has wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written this with my own hand. I will repay, albeit I do not say to you how thou owest me even thine own life besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my soul in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that you will also do more than I say. But besides, prepare for me a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, and Marcus, Aristarchus, and I hope I pronounced his name right, Demas and Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This is a very personal letter from Paul. In fact, I think as I was studying for this, Dr. J. Vernon McGee said that he thought that Paul would actually be surprised that this actually made it into the whole canon of Scripture. And I think he's probably right. I think if Paul was given a New Testament and he was slipping through it, he'd be going, what? What's this doing in here? I don't think he realized it was going to get into the Word of God. But there's a lot in here, especially when you really dig into it. Now, if this is going to work for me, I'm going to... Yes, okay. This is only the second time I've gone all digital. Usually I like to have my papers. I love my papers. I'm trying something different. So now what I want to do is I want to read for you the same book, but I want to read it out of the Message. Have you ever heard of this from the Message translation? This is a personal letter, and I really think that the Message, it just grabs the meaning and really pulls out what I think Paul was trying to say here. And it puts in a little bit more common English. I, Paul, am a prisoner for the sake of Christ, here with my brother Timothy. I write this letter to you, Philemon, my good friend and companion in this work. Also to our sister Apphia, to Archippus, a real trooper, and to the church that meets in your house. God's best to you. Christ's blessings on you. Every time your name comes up in my prayers, I say, oh, thank God for you. I keep hearing of the love and the faith you have for the Master Jesus, which brims over to other Christians. And I keep praying that with this faith we hold in common, keeps showing up in the good things that we do, and the people recognize Christ in all of it. Friend, you have no idea how good your love makes me feel. Doubtly, so when I see your hospitality to fellow believers. In line with all of this, I have a favor to ask you. As Christ's ambassador and now a prisoner for him, I wouldn't hesitate to command this if I thought it necessary, but rather I'd like to make it a personal request. While here in jail, I fathered a child, so to speak, and here he is, hand-carrying this letter, Onesimus. He was useless to you before, but now he is useful to both of us. Now I'm sending him back to you, but it feels like I'm cutting off my right arm in doing so. I wanted, in the worst way, to keep him here as your stand-in to help me out while I'm in jail for the Message, but I didn't want to do anything behind your back, make you do a good deed that you hadn't been willingly agreed to. Maybe it's for the best that you lost him for a while. You're getting him back. And, I hate bifocals, don't you guys? Yeah. All right. Maybe it's for the best that you lost him for a while. You're getting him back now for good. And no more is a mere slave this time, but it's a true Christian brother. That's what he is to me. He'll even be more than that to you. So if you consider me a comrade in arms, welcome him back as you would me. If he damaged anything or owes you anything, chalk it up to my account. This is my personal signature, Paul, and I stand behind it. I don't need to remind you, do I, that you owe me your very life to me. Do me this big favor, friend. You'll be doing it for Christ, but it will also do my heart good. And by the way, get a room ready for me. Because of your prayers, I fully expect to be your guest again. And then I'll just stop it with that for the sake of time. Now, Philemon, this is really interesting, is actually pronounced Philemon. And his name means one who kisses. Think about that one for a second. And it comes from the Greek word phileo. You've heard of phileo, where there's agape love, and there's phileo love. Well, phileo is brotherly love. We have a town just up the road from us called Philadelphia. There's a big one down in Pennsylvania, I've heard too, called Philadelphia. Now, Philemon, he was a businessman of some sort, but most Bible scholars seem to think that he had a restaurant called Chick-fil-A-man. Apparently, it was an upscale place because they served filet mignon. So, those are the only two jokes I'll tell you about that. All right, in verse 2, this lady Apphia, she's mentioned here. Well, who is she? More than likely, this was Philemon's wife. Now, her name means fruitful. So, we have one who kisses with fruitful. Now, when I think of fruitful, I think of one who gets the work done. So I think they really made a great combination in ministry. And Archippus means master of the horse. And I have no doubt that he was a great soldier, as Paul even calls him, a fellow soldier. And I'm sure that he was a great warrior for Christ in those days. In verse 2, it says that there was a church in his house. And I think Philemon was more than likely a rich man. He had slaves, at least one that we know of, right? And he was apparently a man of business of some sort. He had a house big enough to have a church in it. And this was a really great testimony for him. And verse 2 says that they weren't just serving Christ, but they were making it possible. They were making it possible for others to serve him as well. Verses 3 and 4, we have the standard greeting, which Paul often did. But you'll notice that in the greeting, in all the other letters like Ephesians, Philippians, he says, Paul, an apostle. He doesn't do that here. He doesn't have to do that here because he's writing a personal letter to a friend. That's how we know this is very personal from his heart. Now, Philemon was probably a very prominent man, not only in the community, but probably also in church circles. And it was so much so that Paul thought it was wise that he pray for him. So Paul mentioned Philemon in his prayers. You know, how often do we pray for our leaders? It's real easy to think of like the national leaders. They're always in the spotlight. You can't turn on the news without seeing something about, you know, President Trump or Senator Schumer or any of them like that. It's easy because they're always in front of us. What about our local leaders? What about your pastors? Do you guys even know who the members of the board are? Pray for them by name. They need your prayers. They covet your prayers because they're targets for the enemy. Verse 5 says, hearing of thy faith. Well, how did he hear of it? Well, things got around back then, kind of like they do today, I guess. Things go around. How did he hear about it? Well, through the grapevine. People would be traveling a lot back then, and they'd get to Paul, and they'd say, oh, Paul, you know, I went through Colossae, and there was this guy there, Philemon. Do you know what he did for me? Why, he housed me, he gave me food, and he sent me on my way, and he refreshed me. And Philemon had that kind of a testimony. And those kind of things got back to Paul, which brings up the point, what kind of testimony do we have? What do people say about you? No, they do say it, too. Well, it was funny. I just got back from vacation not too long ago, and I said, so, did you guys have a good time talking about me while I was gone? Because that's what they do. When somebody goes away, they talk about you. So let's give people some good stuff to talk about. Do they talk about the good things? Do you give them good things to talk about? Or do they say, oh, man, last week, Rob, boy, he really blew it. You know, he really went off the handle, or he did this, or he did that. What about, you know, the other day when I was really sad, Rob came over to me and talked to me. You know, did they say stuff like that about you guys? Verse 6 says, he shared his faith. Down in verse 7, this word bowels really means from the heart. Now, he was the kind of person that would house traveling preachers or evangelists. And I really think that he might have even, now this doesn't say this, but it's just a thought, that he might have actually sent money to help those, to support people in that line of work. Doubtly, though, I think that he ministered financially to the saints. And it also says he may have even done some preaching, and his messages may have refreshed others. Have you ever been refreshed by a message before? You come to church and just hear something that just grabs your heart. You know what I'm really thankful for is Christian radio. I listen to WMHR almost exclusively. I really enjoy the teaching. A lot of the programs are something on there. A lot of the short programs, they're like less than 2 minutes. It's almost just like a little stab at you, you know, like kind of just a little bit of a jab to get you going and to really get you going on your way. Now, verses 8 and 9, Paul gets right down to it. He says, I could command this, but I'd rather let you decide in love. It's funny, he also mentions he's old. It's kind of interesting. My mother-in-law, she likes to, I don't know, kind of make people feel guilty when she's asking for something. She's like, no, hon, I'm just a little old, poor little widow. You know, and she is poor and she is a widow. But she likes to lay it on. She likes to lay it on thick so she can get what she wants so that maybe they'll feel sorry for her and well, maybe give her a free cup of coffee or something. I don't know. But that's what she's trying to do. Now, back in verse 1, he uses the same phrase. I think Paul's kind of trying to butter Philemon up here a little bit. I think he's trying to maybe lay it on, maybe not too thick. He's not saying anything that's not true, but he's kind of getting him. Now, you've never done this, right? None of you have ever kind of like, I think kids are really good at this. Mom, Dad, my favorite mom, my favorite dad. Well, you got another one? You know, it's like, you know, they come to you, don't they? And they try to get in your good side. And that's, I think it's exactly what Paul was trying to do here. Not that he had any doubts. We're going to see that here in a little bit. All right, verse 10 says that that Onesimus was his spiritual son, which just means that sometime while Onesimus was in Rome, that Paul led him to the Lord. Now, he had some other spiritual sons, Timothy and Titus as well. Now, at some point, being a Christian, coming up, I would have loved to have been a Christian under Paul and have actually studied and learned from Paul. I thought that would be amazing. He's one of the people I want to talk to in heaven. And there's some other ones. Philemon is one, actually. Have you ever felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Is something just not right? You got to make it right? I think that's exactly what happens here to Onesimus. Where can I walk? I'm going to go over here. Onesimus was probably feeling really kind of guilty about being a runaway slave. And after he had a chance to grow in the Lord, I'm sure God was kind of punching him, poking him with the Holy Spirit, like, hey, Onesimus, man, you got to tell Paul you're a runaway slave. And probably like all of us, Onesimus is going, no, I don't think so, kind of trying to dance around the issue, right? Well, finally, Onesimus comes to his senses and says, all right, you know, I got to tell Paul this. So he probably went to Paul and said, you know, Paul, there's just something I just got to tell you. And Paul's like, well, okay, no, spill it out. Onesimus probably said something like, well, I'm a runaway slave. And Paul probably would have said, well, okay, well, where are you from? Oh, Colossus. Oh, Colossus, really? Well, I know some people there. Tell me about it. Who is your master? I'm sorry, it's not like you said Philemon. You mean the guy that owns Chick-Flamin? The guy with the church in his house? Oh, yeah, that guy. Oh, Onesimus. That's wonderful. I led him to the Lord. I know him. He owes me his own life. Don't worry, Onesimus. You know what we're going to do? We're going to write a little letter, and we're going to send you right back. And I'm sure that it might have taken some time to do all this, but it's funny that Onesimus, you'll love this, actually means profitable. Onesimus means profitable. And I have no doubt that Paul was using a play on words, saying, hey, you know what? He was unprofitable to you, but now he's living up to his name, because not only is he profitable to you, he's profitable to me. And to tell you how profitable he was to him, that he wanted to keep him there. But did you know that it's very likely that when Philemon hand-carried that letter, I can't imagine doing that. It almost be like carrying your own death sentence, you know, back to, or at least that might have been what he was thinking, I'm not sure. But not only did Onesimus have that letter to Philemon, but it is more than likely that he had with him the letters to the church in Colossae, the letter to the Colossians, and whatever happened to the letter of the Laodiceans, I don't know, but he probably had that one too. And Colossians 4:16 says, and when this epistle is read among you, cause it also to be read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that likewise you read the epistle from Laodicea. And there's a footnote in the Authorized or the King James Version that says that letter was actually brought to him by Onesimus and Tychicus. And I hope I pronounced his name right. This is how much Paul trusted Onesimus. Colossians 4:7-9 says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent to you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful brother, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, because he was actually from Colossae. They, meaning both Tychicus and Onesimus, will make known to you all things which are done here. Paul sent him on a business trip. He was so useful to Paul that Paul says in verses 12 through 14, yeah, you know what? I wanted to keep him here because he's so profitable to me. But you know what? I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it, Philemon, because I wanted you to be willing. And here, Paul wanted to do what was right over what he wanted to do. And I think today that too many people just go ahead and do what they want to do anyway, and so dishonor Christ. Which brings up one of my main points of this message. We need to do what is right just because it's the right thing to do. Do we honor our contracts? Do we pay our bills on time? Do we honor our commitments at home, at work, at church? Or do we just skip out when something better comes up? Oh, it's a really nice day outside. Let's go to the beach. You've never thought that? I have. I'll admit it. But I come to church anyway because, well, somebody had to preach today. So here I am. So, now how about this? Do we own up to our mistakes or do we let someone else take the blame? My daughter was in an accident out in Albany not too long ago, and I guess these people were getting off at an exit, and they decided all of a sudden, oh, this isn't the right exit for me, vroom, right back onto the freeway. Well, my poor daughter had to slam on her brakes, and then she got rear-ended, and then the people behind them got rear-ended as well. Praise God, she was okay. But those people just took off. Why? Because they thought that they could get out of Dodge before they got caught, right? That's probably what they were thinking. Don't we think a lot like that sometimes? What's the phrase, no cop, no stop? That was pretty popular back in my day. But think about this. Oh, no, never mind. Don't think about it. I'll go on to something else. We're short on time. But you know what? We need to own up to our mistakes. Don't let somebody else take the blame for your mistakes. Own up to it. If something happens at work, man, you know what? Jibby Billy Doe Jim Bob's going to get in trouble because, well, I forgot to do this, but he's going to take the blame for it because it looks like he did it. No, stand up and do what's right. Do we run as fast as we can, hope no one ever saw us, or hope it would never be traced back to us? I certainly hope not. Do we honor God in business? Oh, and I hate this phrase with a passion. Hate it. Hate this phrase. It's just business. Is it really? Is it really just business? As a Christian, it should never be just business. I'm going to get real preachy here in a sec. Let's look at Psalm 15. I want to read that for you. Psalm 15. Love it, love it, love it. Told you we're going all digital today. Got the old phone out. A Psalm of David. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor spreadeth reproach amongst his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. This part is important. He that taketh an oath to his own hurt and changeth not. We're going to look at that in a couple different translations here in just a second. He that putteth out money to usury, nor taketh a bribe against the innocent. He that doeth these things will never be moved. I want to read that verse to you in a different verse 4. Verse 4, the last part says, he makes firm commitments and does not renege on his promise. The message knocks it out of the park here. Verse 4, that part of verse 4 says, keep your word even when it costs you. Even when it costs you. Oh, do we do that today? Do we honor our word at our own cost? Or do we kind of run from it when it starts to cost us a little bit? Or maybe we can make more money if we ignore our promise or our contract, or just simply by not doing what we said that we would do. Did you know that by not honoring our word, we can actually put a stumbling block in somebody's way to receive Christ? Yeah. Especially if they know you're a Christian and you do them wrong. You say you're going to do something and then something better comes up. Oh, man, I can make some more money by doing this. And I'll just forget about them. Oh, they'll forget it. Do they forget it? No. In fact, not only do they not forget it, but they remember, oh, but that guy's a Christian. Well, I don't want anything to do with that. You want to put that kind of a taste? Do you want to be responsible for that? Do you want to answer to God for that on Judgment Day? I wouldn't want to. Told you I was going to get preachy. So how can we do this? Something happened to me and our family. We live in a mobile home. We were having it transported on a given day. I took the day off. I made arrangements for the kids to go places. So we're waiting for the guy to come, and we're waiting. Tried to call him, no answer. End of the day, I was really calm and collected. And if you believe that, I was a little upset. So I'm like, well, I'm not having these guys do it, even if they want to come tomorrow. No way. So I call up another company. I tell them the story, and they're like, oh, well, who's going to do that? And they're like, oh, those people? Oh, yeah, well, they got a pretty bad habit of doing that. Probably what happened was they had a chance to make some more money somewhere else, so they went and did that. So I'm like, fine, well, you're not getting any of my money then. That's fine. A good way of, I love this story, about doing what's right just because it's the right thing to do. I don't know where I heard this. I know it was on WMHR. I don't know what program. It was something like Focus on the Family or Family Talk. But there was a story about this Christian girl. She was in high school, and she was at the golf championships for, I don't know if it was state or something like that. Now, I don't know much about golf, but apparently you have to end the game with your own ball. Is that something? Okay. All right, great. So she won the tournament. She's on her way up to the podium with her ball, and she looks down. God bless her. She realizes she doesn't have her ball. It's not her ball. Who would ever know, right? Oh, this still freaks me and unsettles me. You know what she did? She went, didn't even hesitate, and she went up to that podium and said, I'm sorry. I know you think I'm here to accept this award, but I can't because I just realized this ball isn't mine. I'm disqualified. Wow. Would you do that? Would you have that kind of courage? Who would have known? Who would ever saw her? That kind of an example just blows me away. Now I'm going to give you two more examples. They're both about me. One's good, one's bad. I'm going to give you the bad one first. Way back when we were first married, I had only been a Christian a very short time, maybe a little over a year. We were at this store called Roses, which is kind of like a Kmart or Walmart down in Virginia. And I think it was a popcorn maker. We were going to buy a popcorn maker. Well, it rang up a lot less than it should have. And I'm thinking, all right, man, we're going to get a deal. And the godly woman my wife is and was said, oh, look, it didn't ring up right. And I'm like, ah, what? And It's pretty close to that, right? Yeah. I was mad. But then you know what happened? Immediately the Holy Spirit was like, Rob, that was wrong. And I'm like, oh, you're right. And I apologized to her on the way out because that wasn't right. Now, I think it was last year I was over at Lowe's in Oswego, and I was buying 3 bags of mulch. And I bought 2 bags of one kind and something else that was like triple shred. Oh, man, the best stuff in the world. Love this stuff. Really easy to work. Anyway, we're not talking about mulch here. So anyway, the triple shred was a little bit more money than the other two. So I'm on my way out to the car, and I'm thinking, something just didn't end up right. Something's just not adding up right in my head. I'm thinking 3 bags for $3.33 should have been $9.99 plus tax, and it was, that's what it should have been. Should have been more because the second bag was more. I'm thinking more like 12 something, you know, 11, 12. Look at my receipt. Sure enough, they didn't charge me enough. They didn't charge me enough for the third bag. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll go back in. And I turn around, go back in, thinking I'll just give them a little bit of money. Yeah, we'll be good, right? No. I heard it. You had to return all 3 bags, repurchase the 2 bags, and then the third bag. It was a pain. It was a big pain, and it was time-consuming, and I was already late. But it was a good example of doing the right thing, and I knew I'd be able to use it in a message someday. So there you go. So it was worth it. Verses 15 to 18. Paul makes a plea for Onesimus. Think about this. It's more than likely that Onesimus stole, although we don't know, it's more than likely, where is he going to get the money from? He didn't get enough. He probably wasn't, as a slave, I'm guessing you didn't get a whole lot of money. So Rome isn't the Rome down the street, folks. He wasn't going to walk there overnight. Rome was a long way from Colossae. Well, how's he going to get there? He probably stole the money or stole things he needed to be able to sell them to get the money. What would you do if somebody did that to you? And then somebody like Paul comes along, maybe the person that led you to the Lord, and said, oh, so-and-so, hey, you know, I know this guy did you some wrong, but you know what? He became a Christian, and, well, we need to forgive him, and I want you to send him back to me so I can use him. What would you say to that? Do you know that under Roman law, Philemon had every right to have Onesimus or whipped or whatever, right? If you had that kind of power, would you use it? Or would you follow the example of Philemon? I see somebody shaking her head. No, praise God. Thank you for that. I've got to get back over to my notes. But you know what Paul says? Paul says, Philemon, if he did you any wrong, put that on my account. I, Paul, this is my signature. I wrote it. I, Paul, I'll repay. And that brings us up to really the most beautiful part of this message. Because you know what? Isn't that what Christ did for us? Didn't he take our place? Didn't he take our place? That should have been us hanging on the cross. That should have been us paying for our own sins. And yet Christ, while we were yet sinners, enemies of Christ, he died for us. He died for us so that we could live with him forever. He died for us so that he could give us stuff like the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us when we receive Christ. Do you know that we walk around with the Holy Spirit living inside of us? Isn't that an amazing thing? It's because Christ died for us. That's what he did for us. If Christ died for us and forgave us all of our nasty little sins, don't you think we ought to forgive others the little piddly things they do against us? Do you think we ought to do that? I'm sorry, did I hear an amen? Okay, there it is. Thank you. All right. We also get a new name. We get a new status when we receive Christ. We're no longer slaves and enemies, but we're children of God, brothers, co-heirs with Christ, with as much right to heaven as Christ himself. That's amazing to think of that. Verse 20, Paul says, hey man, refresh my bowels, refresh me. I find it interesting that he uses the same phrase as in verse 7, and it says, it's like he's saying, Philemon, man, you know what? You refreshed the saints, brother. Refresh me too. Do it for me too, man. You did it for others. Do it for me. Paul states his confidence in Philemon down here in verse 21. Not only was he confident that Philemon would obey, what does he say? He'll do what? Far more than I even ask. Do we do that today? Do we go the extra mile? I think the extra mile is kind of gone with the wind, as it were. I don't think we do that anymore. In fact, you know what? We just barely do the bare minimum sometimes, don't we? And even then, we do it half-heartedly. What about our service for Christ? When somebody asks you to do something, do you grumble about it? Do you just barely do it? Maybe you don't even want to do it. You know, what did he do for us? I'm resisting the temptation to... I already preached that message a couple times ago, so I'll let it go about Christian service. So I'll let that one go. We're running out of time. But I feel that too many Christians are just doing the bare minimum. And why don't we go, if we really love Christ, why don't we go above and beyond? Why don't we go above and beyond that which is expected? What about your job? What if you just did what was expected of you? You get your paycheck. We can be a testimony to people. We can really live it up for Christ. We can lead people to the Lord by our conduct. And that's another message. But you know what? We really ought to put some deep thought into our service for Christ. Are we just going through the motions? So some questions we need to ask ourselves. We should serve Christ out of a heart of love instead of out of necessity. This next part, I want to make it very clear. This is not, hear me, this is not in the Word of God. It is not God-breathed. It is not inspired. It is not found in any translation. It's just a letter that I think Philemon may have sent back to Paul with Onesimus. It's just something that I wrote based on what we know about Philemon and Paul's confidence in him. I can almost never read this, the letter of Philemon, without tearing up, and I'm gonna tear up when I read this because I'm weird. I don't know. I'm a very emotional person. Dear Paul, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God truly be praised because of your ministry in leading Onesimus to the Lord. I'm very thankful that Onesimus is of great use to there in Rome. Yes, my dearest brother and father in the Lord, be refreshed. It is my greatest pleasure to send him back to you. Please, if you count me faithful in the Lord, receive him as myself. In addition, please receive this bountiful gift for your support, not just yours, but for Onesimus and for those with you. In addition, you owe me nothing. Onesimus owes me nothing. All has been forgiven long ago. I mean it, Paul. You owe me nothing. As far as a place for you, one is always here for you. Not just for those, not just for you, but all those with you. Yes, even Onesimus. I'd consider it a great joy and pleasure to have you here. I pray for you often, Paul. I will pray for Onesimus often now as well. I'd always hoped that he'd return to me someday so that I could show him kindness. May God bless, truly bless, the ministry the two of you have together. And may Onesimus continue to be of great use there. Affy and I hope to see you soon. Till then, Paul, may the Lord richly bless you. We don't have Philemon's response recorded in Scripture. I wish we did. I think maybe too many times I think too much. I don't know. But I don't know what made me think of that. But we didn't have that recorded in Scripture. But it's just something that at the very least, that's what Philemon's response should have been, is it not? It's how we should respond. In closing, let's remember that we're a testimony for Christ, and we must live out our faith. We need to show the world that there is a difference. There's a difference between people that live in the world that without Christ and people that live in the world with Christ. We need to be different. We need to stand out. And we need to share our faith. It's not just good enough to let people see that, you know, we're a good person. Let's learn from the examples of Paul and Philemon, and let's live out our Christian lives in front of others. Let's have the right attitude. Let's have a forgiving spirit. Let's have a loving spirit to those around us. And I'm telling you, it's not easy. I can't imagine trying to forgive somebody like Onesimus if I was Philemon. And yet, not only does Christ really demand it and expect it, but it's for our own good that he does that. And that's an entirely a different message on forgiveness, which is coming here soon. I'm working on it, just to let you know. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, so much for this day. And I thank you for your servant Philemon. I thank you for your servant Paul. And I can't wait to get to heaven to talk to them, especially about this, to find out really what his response really was to all of this. And I'm sure it probably wasn't too far off from this, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you give us courage today to forgive those who have wronged us. I pray that you give us the strength and the grace that we need to do what's right just because it's the right thing to do. Help us to honor you, Lord. Help us to be a great and powerful testimony and witness to those in the community. And I just pray, Lord, that you give us the wisdom that we need also in refreshing the bowels of the saints, Lord, and sending people on their way into working the mission field or wherever else you have. And I just pray one last thing. Lord, you'd help us to be serious about our Christian service, Lord, that you'd help us to be able to find something to do for you. If we don't already have a job, to be able to find something. And when we do, Lord, that we'd use it, use the gifts and the talents you've given to us with our whole heart, not just serving you out of necessity, Lord. We thank you so much for all you've given, Lord, for all you've done. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.